3, 2, 1, click.
That was gorgeous. That was the best Australian accent I've ever heard.
It's so hard. Like, it's so difficult.
I think key is you have to have an element of absolute enthusiasm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not two. It's like two?
It rolls on up, which I guess is probably just our shitty interpretation of it. But if I don't do that, I feel like I can't do the accent.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only way. It's like the stereotypical way is the only way you can do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I got to tell you something.
Okay, please do.
It cracks me up. So I'm sitting under the Twilight blanket that you got me for Christmas.
Yes.
Did you ever open it up and like look at it?
I think when it first came, I took it out of the plastic bag that it came in, and I folded it so that when you opened it, the first thing you saw was hopefully Eddie's face.
It is. I first of all, I love this little blanket. It's very mobile, and so it just kind of moves around with me. It is so tiny.
Is it really?
It's a throw blanket. Like it's not. It's still a blanket, but like about. It's a step bigger than a beach towel, and that makes it so much better to me. Every time I unfold it, and it's just a little guy, I'm just like, perfect.
My God. I got an Animal Crossing blanket, and it was like in this Animal Crossing pack. So it came with like a bento box, a water bottle, a hat, a keychain. Like there was, you know, this little special box, and in it, it was like, you know, there's a throw blanket, and I go to open it up, and it is probably a beach towel for an infant baby.
Wonderful.
Like, I'm trying to think of even how to explain it. It's like you cut a regular towel in half. I don't even know.
It's a lap blanket.
It's a lap blanket. And every time I go to use it, I am so thoroughly pissed off.
I am enjoying this experience because I just have the blanket tossed over my lap. And as I look down, directly down is Edward's very angry scowl. Like it's all I can see if I happen to look down. So
I'm glad.
It's good
company. I gotta tell you, I had about 4 prints I could have chosen. 4 classic Twilight prints for that blanket. And I really went back and forth.
I like this one. It's got it. Mm-hmm. It captures the blue filter really well. It's got my favorite version of Alice in it when she's got her like flippy haircut. That was like such a thing. Yeah. I love it.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Speaking of, this is actually an accidentally good segue. So, dude, I checked the P.O. box, right? I've told you a little bit about it. I checked the P.O. box, finally. I didn't check the P.O. box for, like, a fucking month. I don't know why. You ever just convince yourself you did something and you didn't?
Every day.
Yeah, and so I just wound up, by the time I checked it, I had not checked this thing in so long. There were so many, like, little, like, Christmas goodies in there, some Yuletide treats. And I have a list. I just have a quick little list of thank you things. Some things I'm going to be sharing with you too, Charlie, because this is new for you. But we're going to end this with a poem that is written with such craftsmanship that I couldn't believe it. So, but we're going to get to that.
My body's ready to accept.
We were just sent some wonderful things. So thank you, Libby, who sent us the Vampire Mad Libs. We've already broke those in, as you saw, on the live. So thank you for those. Thank you, Rue, for the art. You'll see it, Charlie. It's like super great. I love it. There's some like prints and whatnot.
Can't wait.
Thank you, Kaylee, for the book. Now. Here we go. This book, Charlie. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you so ready? I'm super ready.
Give it to me.
Culpepper's Complete Herbal. A compendium of herbs and their uses, annotated for modern herbalists, healers, and witches. So it's by Nicholas Culpepper.
Serious? We have his book.
We have his whole book, dude. And like, I haven't even really like, sat with it, you know. But I have read, just kind of like flipped it and landed on, you know, like a certain random page, and it sounds right, you know.
Oh, I love it.
And it has the associations in here, so for every single herb, it has them under this one. So for instance, here is oregano. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Government and virtues. This is also under the dominion of Mercury. It strengthens the stomach and head much. There being scarce a better remedy for such as are troubled with a sour humor in the stomach. It restores the appetite being lost, helps the cough and consumption of the lungs. Mm. It cleanses the body of choler. Which I think means cholera, and I just have a strong doubt that it just cleanses the body.
I'm sorry.
Of cholera. Otherwise, I think that would have really helped a lot with things. But it's literally an entire book.
Yeah.
Yeah, a whole book. But it has like the astrological, you know, like right here.
That's interesting.
Government and virtues. I don't even know what plant this is. Under the dominion of Dame Venus. And provoke lust exceedingly.
Exceedingly.
Wow. So we've got this now, and I am happy to. Thank you. That was Kaylee R. So yeah, big thank you. It's either Kaylee or Kylie. I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but you know who you are.
They send you a beautiful gift, and you can't even say their name right.
Big time appreciate. And in the card, I love, they were like, oh, I hope you're not just like swimming in copies of this that people have sent you. And it's just like, no, because this is the most genius fucking gift I've ever seen. thank you, Teresa, for the letters. You have one too, Charlie. I accidentally opened it, but then I realized there were three more in the stack. So I didn't open it, but I broke the seal of yours. And then I saw one that just said Macy and my heart stopped. And so I put yours back. So if you see if the seal's broken, it has not been
read. I'm going to break the seal of someone else's and continue the tradition.
Okay, that'll be good. You can open up Lyra's. Thank you. Thank you, Brittany, for the card. Thank you, Katie. Katie's the creator of the Bean Zine, collage expertise all out everywhere. I love that. So anyway, we got more collage genius for one. And it has it has a couple little Shrinky Dinks charms in it. You remember Shrinky Dinks? There's a couple little Shrinky Dinks charms in there, and they're fabulous. They're fabulous. I'm so excited. Thank you, Coco, for the card and the bracelets. And you'll get those. I know, I saw that and I was like, oh, Coco. And
what a beautiful soul.
All the way through. Thank you, Julia, for the card and the poem. Now, this poem, had I checked the mail on time, would have been more timely. However, I don't care. This is too good. This is a timeless poem in my eyes, honestly.
Okay.
So, also, y'all can't see what I see, but the handwriting is just so neat and clean. Like, reading this is so easy to do because the handwriting is just so neat and clean. This is called A Visit from Jim. And it's by Julia H. Are you ready? Let's settle in, everybody. "'Twas the night before Yuletide, when through Peggy's halls, not a peep was heard, not even Dante's caterwauls. The candy panties were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that Jim would soon be there. Dinah and Gizzy were snug in their beds while visions of doggy treats danced in their heads, and Macy and Charlie had finished at last the latest episode of the WBAH podcast. When out from the garden there came such a sound. 'Why do I hear Shakira?' asked Charlie, looking around. They rose from their chairs to peer out at the yard. Macy sprang protection mist, always on guard. The moon was... I know, I was like, yeah. The moon was new neath the horizon below, so that starlight alone danced upon the fresh snow. When what to their strained eyes did appear but a humanoid form on the back of a deer? Dismounting, it waved with no hand on its limb. They knew at that moment it must be old Jim. He gyrated his way to the door. What a stunt! And while thrusting forth, he sang in a grunt. You know my hips don't lie, and I'm stopping my feelings right. All the attraction, the tension, don't you see, baby, this is perfection.
Oh, what a good boy.
But Hunter locked the door, Macy said with surprise, gawking at the greasy man of diminutive size. Yet there he was in her house. How good is this written, dude? It was blew me away.
Oh my god, I can't even handle it.
Okay, yet there he was in her house, dripping with goo as if he leapt through space-time to Peggy from the bayou. He sniffed round for a bit, then moaned with delight upon seeing the sweet panties in the firelight.
The sweet panties!
Quickly, he put on the bright candy thongs while humming some other 20-aught song. Satisfied, he turned back to look at the witches and grinning croaked, "Gotcha some riches." After digging in his pockets for an awkwardly long time, he found their gifts, jars of homemade yeast slime. No sooner had he put their presents on the floor when his steed came and banged his antlers on the door.
Gotta go,
Jim announced with a twirl, then shimmied away, mumbling,
"Holla back, girl."
The cousins peeked outside, but the duo had left, leaving the two a bit sad and bereft. But then from the woods came,
"What more can I do? Baby, all I want for tonight is you."
So thank you much for that, Julia H. Masterfully crafted example of
wow. How good was that?
I know. Really good. Yeah. And you know, the moment I opened it, I was reading it. I never read it quietly. Like the moment, because I could tell immediately from the twas, I was like, oh my gosh, this is written in a cadence, you know?
This is meant to be read out loud.
The moment that I opened it, I read it out loud for the first time and like got so into it because it was just like, they nailed it. It's so good. I had it's such a fun time. Thank you.
Wow. We honestly need to end the podcast right now.
I know. It's better than anything that we can do.
There's nothing we can do after that.
No. Never. So yeah, thank you to everybody who spoiled us over
good Yule, night, everybody.
Yule time. Y'all are too good to us. Y'all are too nice. And we appreciate it. And you're more talented than we are. So thank you.
truthfully though, really.
Yeah, I know.
Real.
Yeah.
Wow. I wish I had something nearly as cool to share with you, but I don't.
That's okay. That's okay.
I do have a tiny announcement. Now, this is just for me. This is just for me. If you have been wondering, watching, waiting, stalking, wanting those Twitch live streams to come back, every Wednesday, my guys, at 6:30.
Fucking finally. I've been ready. I want this.
Check it out. Every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, 6:30. That is CST. And you can, like, follow my Twitter if you want. Hold on. I was so put together.
I'll stall some time for you as you're doing this.
Thank you.
Help me, though, with a question. The while that this time has passed, has our farm continued or does it stop when you leave it?
Time has been frozen.
Okay.
Yes.
It was like, how many fucking kids have I shot through my chute at this point?
See, here's the thing. This first, today, when this episode comes out at 6:30, will be my first time back. I imagine that's going to be just a reacquaintance of what's going on. Honestly, that thing has kind of happened where enough time has passed where now it's like, I don't care if really weird shit happens in the game.
So. No, who cares, you know?
Twitch.tv/Charlie_with-a-Y. You can keep up with this and find information, yada yada, on my Twitter. That's at Charlie with a Y. All of that will be, I guess, in the description box. Come on by if you feel like it. That's mine. That's what I got.
Hey, I like it. I like it. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Good. Come by, watch Macy shoot out 54 more kids from Sasquatch.
I'm really good at it, and he's really good. Apparently, he's very fertile.
Yeah. Yeah, we've discussed why, and we won't talk about it again. And I believe that I am about to have a child with my very toxic wife.
I want this to end. Everybody wants this to end. You need to end it. It needs to end. I think, it's not healthy for literally anyone involved, including the children.
I think that that's where we ended it last time, is I think we made the decision that I'm going to split because I think I told her about it. I'm like, yo, I'm going to have a baby. And she was like, boo.
Yeah. Didn't she like throw one of my kids at a wall? Like, isn't she?
Yeah, I think she fed some foxglove to one of your kids.
Yeah, she's got to go, dude. Like,
but she's so much fun.
Oh, my God. Keeps it interesting.
Wow. So check that out. And what are we talking about today?
I'm talking today about a common weed. You've probably got it growing around your yard somewhere, and it's probably tufting up near around this time or will be soon. I'm talking about henbit.
Henbit?
Yeah, you know what it looks like, but you don't know what it's called.
I'm Googling it.
You'll recognize it instantly.
Oh, that little shit.
Yeah. Talking about henbit.
Yeah, it's kind of pretty.
Yeah, I love henbit. Well, and like, I remember the first time I learned the name of henbit, I was in seventh grade, and for some reason, every year the seventh grade class in Texas history, because we take that before the rest of the histories in Texas, we take Texas history
first.
Yeah,
we do.
And so when I was in Texas history, we had a wildflower project, which was like really fun. You had to collect at least like 21 wildflowers from your area, press them in a book. And I remember henbit. And like for some reason, it stuck. That name stuck. It was just like, you know, sometimes a random factoid or name for something just like slurps its way into your brain and just stays there.
Oh, won't let go.
Yeah. And I've remembered it. And I don't know. I've always liked it. It's just like a sweet, bushy little kind of plant. And the more I learned about it, it's got a lot to give.
I love the name. I love that it looks like a cartoon rabbit when you look at it up close. I love that I took Texas history in fucking college, my guy.
Oh, me too. I had to take it again. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
College level. And okay. One time, my professor I think it was just Texas history. She was so Texas to her bones. I mean, on her little denim vest that she would wear, she would have like little flags of Texas. You know who I'm talking about, Mace. Like,
it's in your bones.
This archetype. Peggy Hill, almost.
Okay.
But like Peggy Hill, but with like the born and bred of Texas vibe of Hank.
Peggy Hill, anyway. But like strapped.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things we did is we took a little field trip, little college field trip to a popular like burial site. And we, for some reason, used dowsing rods while we were there. Like when you'd walk over bodies, you know, they
we
were
did
like,
the
ooh,
same.
Walk
I,
over
yeah,
body.
You try to find them to like, yeah, you use like a willow branch or whatever. Sometimes you can try to find the water.
Yes. And I had a boyfriend at the time who had been my boyfriend since high school. Macy, I believe you know who I'm talking about.
I do.
And he and I were, I guess, having some kind of tiff on this day. And I don't know why, but I guess My teacher did not know who this person was, even though they were in the class. So as we're all walking around and he is pouty, you know, sometimes you just, you know, when you get in a fight with a pouter and they just kind of,
yes, they proceed walk 15 to pout.
Steps yeah. behind everybody and pout. So that's what was going on. And about halfway through this trip, my teacher kind of shuffles up next to me and she goes, Charlie, who is this young man? And I had to go, well, but anyway, that was my main takeaway from Texas history.
Hey, sounds all you really need to know, you know?
Yeah.
Good enough.
I'm talking about a stone. Scolasite.
Golasite?
Scolasite.
Holasite?
Are you fucking with me right now?
No, I'm not. I don't know.
Okay, you know the brand of chew that cowboys, skull?
Scolasite. Okay.
Scolasite.
Okay. Every single time you said it, it would be like, it would just kind of cut out a little. And it was just like, holasite. Every time I just got the holasite, like, holasite. And I had to get.
I thought you were just deciding that no matter what I said, you were going to be like, what? yeah, I'm talking about scolasite. And I'm kind of ready to jump in whenever. I believe
yeah,
I
you're
do
first,
go first,
right?
All right, man. All right, let me talk to you about spike. Nope, not spike nerd. Let me talk to you about scolasite. Or what did you think I said? Holasite. So scolasite grows in these long, creepy little needles. Mm. But the needles can grow so that they are so tightly packed together that you can then like cut it and polish it into a stone. And even in its stone form, you can see the growth. So think like your satin spar or your selenite, if you will, how you can kind of see those fibrous growths. Mm. And it makes sense because it is scolasite is a calcium silicate, much like those types of growths usually are. Mm. It has that silicate look to it. But it is mined basically primarily as a byproduct of basalt. So it's just sort of like along for the ride. It's cool. Not necessarily mined because it like intentionally mined. It's just like, we're here to get basalt and that other shit too.
Yeah. It just gets invited to the party because it's friends with the cool person.
Yeah. 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 And then people are just sort of like, okay.
Yeah. Sure. Okay.
Why does this guy look like needles?
You know, that was kind of like how Stevie Nicks got kind of like, real in big, like got all started, like because her and Lindsay Buckingham were a duo. They were Buckingham Nicks. And so I think it was Fleetwood was like at Sound City Studios and was like, I need like a, you know, I like Lindsay Buckingham. Like I like his sound. Like I think he would be a good fit with us. And they were like, well, yeah, but like you're going to have to take Stevie too. Like they come as a package.
Yeah.
And like she was like, okay, well, you got to take her too. And then the next fucking Rhiannon, she had like, or the next album, she had like Dreams and Rhiannon like on. It was like Rumors, I think, was the next record. It's like, okay, yeah, sure.
Oh, God. Yeah, I remember hearing like I don't remember what documentary, but I remember she said something about like in the beginning, she was like, I was just here like sweeping floors and like
yeah.
tea and cigarette trays. And she was like, and I remember just thinking the whole time, like, you have no idea. Which is pretty lit, you know. Have you seen the Hex video of her just staring directly into his eyes while she sings?
No.
I'll send it to you. It's fucking great, dude.
Do, please.
All right. So scolanite is one of these crystals, or one of the crystals that people just sort of recently started caring about.
Okay.
Relatively. It was very first officially documented in 1813. After being categorized and identified using something called the blowpipe test.
Yeah, it is.
Or just the blowpipe flame.
Wink.
Get that blowpipe. This is a way that scientists can categorize and identify minerals by how that mineral reacts to a flame.
Yeah, I bet it is.
And in the case of scolasite, when exposed to this test, it formed all of these spindly little arms kind of offshooting off of it. And they grew kind of like these little worms off of it. So it was then named after the Greek word for worm, scolex.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are, you've and, really, you've intrigued me. I've got to see what this looks like. I need to know because these descriptions are strange.
It's.
Oh, ooh, it's very shardy.
Yeah. Shardy. It's very, that's what they call it.
Yeah, it's shardy. You know, stolasite, the shardy one.
S-C-O-L-E-C-I-T-E. Definitely didn't cut out when I spelt it wrong. Yeah, so it was named after the Greek word for worm, which I thought was interesting because usually when these things take Greek names, they're named sort of in, not all the time, but in the Greek period. You know, it's where they get their names from. This one, it was like, we're going to give you the Greek name, but like, way, way after that shit was over.
Yeah.
Anyway, so scolasite was identified very first in Germany. However, the predominant mining location is in India. So if you have scolasite on you, chances are it came from basalt mines in India. However, it is found all over the world and secondary, like how common it is found and mined and produced for the world. It's like India, Germany, Iceland. Mm. And then everywhere else, it just sort of exists. So this stone, in a mundane way, is interesting. It was a little bit different. It was a little bit different to your typical, like, this stone heals something very clear-cut and physical in that kind of way. This stone works with us on a mental level. School of Sight, which is what my text-to-speech or speech-to-text
perfect
understood me saying. Scolasite is a stone that will help us feel our feelings. Mm. It can very literally help put a name to our physical feelings. As, you know, kind of miraculous as human beings are, and we have this whole thing where we can manifest physical symptoms because of our mental health. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, as great and wonderful and evolved or whatever as we are, we can still get a tummy ache when we feel anxious, you know?
Yeah.
So in all kinds of ways. And the act of feeling our feelings in the body has become somewhat of like a hard concept to grasp for people. And, you know, to the point where I see full-grown adults kind of going maybe through therapy for the first time, and they've heard this phrase, like, feel your feelings, and never knew that that meant, like, physically feel in your body your feelings. So sometimes, you know, if we're feeling very sad or angry or uncomfortable in any kind of way, perhaps a meditation with this stone can help reveal to you that you're, in fact, needing some movement for your body, or maybe you need to nourish yourself or drink something or be mentally stimulated. You know, maybe we can get to the root of, you know, when you got the yuckies, the full body physical yuckies, and you don't really know why. You're not sick, you know, you don't have a virus. There's nothing causing it in a like germology.
Yeah, it's just like I call it the I don't want to's. Like, I say I have a case of the I don't want to's, and it's just like my body, it's like it almost aches, but it doesn't, you know? It's just like the thought of doing anything, just like, ugh. And so I usually, those are the days that I just like lazily roll around on my bolster on my yoga mat for like 2 hours, and then I feel good. Yeah. It's like, and then I slam a ton of water and I feel fine after that.
I mean, dude, the amount of things that come down to just drink more water is crazy.
Drink your water.
And I'm not like, I know that there's this sort of shitty thing that people do where they're just like, oh, you're depressed? Drink more water.
No, but it's a great, if for your current, like if you have a headache, you know,
dude,
before you pop like an ibuprofen, test it out first. Just drink some water, to like drink a good glass of water and wait for like 10, 15 minutes. You know, yeah. It's like things
I,
like dude, that.
I don't even have to wait that long. Yeah. I will slam water. It's almost just what is it when it's psychosomatic? I don't know. It's almost like that because I'll chug water and before it hits my fucking stomach, my body's like, I feel better.
Ah, this is what we needed. Thank you.
Yeah. It's like my, you know, when you have like a spinal reaction to something, mm-hmm. like if you touch a hot stove, that pain signal doesn't really go all the way to your brain. It just makes it to your spine because that's quicker and you can have your reflex, right? Mm-hmm. That's what my body does with water. My brain doesn't even know what's going on. My mouth just goes, send the good feelings. Do it.
We've done it.
We're gonna live. yeah, so if you have a case of the yuckies, of the I don't want to's, then maybe you can, it might have more to do with your mental health than your actual physical health. Not all the time, I'm not a doctor, but this can be a good stone to work with to reveal that to you. Now let's jump into the metaphys. Now, in the way of earlier stones, they don't have a long-running, like, metaphysical history. Mm. I am literally just noticing that I never peeled the Peely sticker off of my laptop screen. Whoa.
Wow, really? You've had that for a while.
Holy shit.
Oh, wow. I always do that immediately.
What a treat.
Yeah. Huh. You get a brand new
Maybe
clean
I'll wait till
screen.
I get my screen fixed.
Yeah, great. It. Yeah.
yeah, so my screen is having an issue that can only be fixed by taking it in to somebody to actually fix it. And the whole time I'm using it, like right now, when I stream on Wednesday, I'm gonna see when I can get it in. The whole time, I'm just, my gut is in a knot. I'm just like, is it
waiting
is
on it to black out?
Is it gonna shit itself? But it seems like it's just gonna flash at me a lot. And I'm glad that I don't have sensitivities to that. So, anyway, metaphysically, this stone is connected to the element of air, Macy, and it is tied to Capricorn. It holds the tenacity of a Capricorn.
Yeah, it does.
So just how which is, you know, strange because Capricorn's an earth sign, but this stone feels very Macy because it is, you know, air sign in Macy.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I was like, I could fuck with this.
You've got a lot of Cap in your chart too.
Yeah.
So just how this stone helps us to feel our feelings and can help us sort out our, you know, decode our mental states.
How spending did we time get with this- here?
Oh my. I used to know you. I had to remember the words. Spending time with this stone can help us understand the inner workings of our mind. Mm. It is said that this stone can open up the connection between our heart and our crown, allowing us.
That was one of my first thoughts. I was like, this looks like the crown chakra. Mm. Like this, if I was to look at the crown chakra, like in a picture, this is what I would imagine. It looks like the thousand petaled lotus. Like it's got all the, like, it just looks like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It does have, it very much looks like it. And all of the metaphysical properties that it carries are very, you know, crown, very upper, whatever. But there is this tie here to the heart, and it can help us understand not only our true selves, but also to become closer to what we consider divine, and to help us accept both of those things, the divine and ourselves, with love. Hmm. I love when something is tied to both the heart and the crown.
That is nice,
because it's like this, it's like this understanding of things that we don't understand, but like loving it anyway, you know. I don't know, it just carries this very like acceptance, open-minded vibe. It helps us to understand our own mind by helping us come face to face with the parts of ourselves that we don't like. It can help remove judgment in a situation for you to see something as it truly is. And it can help take away that, like, oh, no, that's not me. That's not I'm not that kind of person feeling. And it can allow you to dig deep into yourself and confront your deeply seated, ingrained preconceptions, prejudices. I'm talking about that, like, ingrained racism, sexism, bigotry in general mm-hmm. that everybody carries.
Yeah. I mean, if you grew up and had a childhood and heard things and, you know, we all have it stored.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's very healthy to confront and help like move past that.
Exactly. And when you're sitting there going like, oh, that's not me. I'm very open-minded. That is super not cool, I think, because you're just sort of blocking. It's putting the blinders on.
It's deflecting. On. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, let's work this out. So this is a stone that can kind of help us dig in there if that's a very uncomfortable thing to do. Get you some scolonite. Scolonite? Is that what it's called? Hold on.
Scolicite?
Scolicite. Scolonite. Get you some scolicite. So that's the very heart side of the thing. But on the crown side of things, this stone will put us in touch with what beings that we regard as our protectors. So whether that be angels, deities, just higher element forms in general, this stone is very powerful in whatever manner you choose to commune with these beings, right? So prayer, meditation, what have you. And to learn their ways of radical acceptance and love that the world needs. You know, and if you can't change it on a giant scale of the world, to at least change like one person at a time
is
pretty, you know, you got to do that. You got to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. And lastly, the stone, it just helps meditation in general by being super calming. It's a very calm presence. And it's got a vibration that I read on one site that I wish I would have made note of, but they kept calling the vibration sweet.
Oh, it's a sweet vibration.
I knew what they meant. Like, I knew they meant it was, like, sweet. Like, it's yeah, like a, you like know, it, like,
but
you
it's got a sweet vibration. Yeah,
it's very sweet. Now I'm just thinking of Little Sweet, the Dr. Pepper terrifying
Little mascot. Sweet!
Yeah, he's so scary. What is he?
I'm not scared of Little Sweet.
Macy, you have no idea what you've done.
What?
You've just altered my brain chemistry in a way that you I don't think you understand.
Why?
I say this all the time, but I very actually am going to make your notification. I ain't scared a little sweet. Oh my god, that might be my favorite thing that you've ever said.
What?
Wow, this is a very calming stone. It has a sweet vibration. It's very keen to put us in a... You really thrown me off.
What?
It's keen.
Why?
Listen, at the end of this episode, I'm gonna put you saying that looped 54 times.
Okay.
And you'll understand it. All right, this stone is very keen to put us in a state of deep meditation. It also encourages those higher beings that you may work with to perhaps, you know, look after you, protect, get kind of both eyes when they can spare them kind of thing when you are in these states of meditation or perhaps traveling astrally. I ain't scared a little sweet. Macy, yeah. I have a question for you.
What?
Are you attracted to Michael Douglas?
No.
Why?
I just don't think Michael Douglas in any films that I have ever seen has ever done it for me.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Don't know what made me think of that even in the slightest.
What about
but
you?
I wanted to know that about you. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And I don't know why. Kind of in like a smarmy way, though.
I just, yeah. I guess he just bums me out so much in fucking, Fatal Attraction.
War of the Roses? Oh.
And War of the Roses. Isn't that him also in Fatal Attraction? He just.
Let me, you know what? I'm gonna look it up. I've never seen Fatal Attraction. It is Michael Douglas.
Yeah. So I grew up watching a lot of Michael Douglas because War of the Roses and Fatal Attraction are both films that my mom liked, along with Hand That Rocks the Cradle and others that fit the same category.
Yes.
And yeah, he just never did it for me. I always just found myself being much more intrigued by usually his female co-stars. They're just more interesting. Cast. Yeah, I always feel like his supporting actress is usually literally his supporting actress. Like, she supports him as an actor.
You know who... No, I actually have to type this in. Excuse the typing sounds, because I can never quite... Kathleen Turner, my guy.
Oh.
I...
And that voice. Oh, yeah.
In actual love with her.
I mean. Yeah. Yeah, easy to do. Big time. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen Serial Mom?
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
What a weird.
Weird. Yes, you're weird, right. Strange. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I didn't realize that was a fucking John Waters flick for like ever.
That makes sense.
And then
sense,
I found that though. Out and I was like, oh, yeah, that makes
sense. Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Anyway, wow, that was a little departure, but I needed to know.
Yeah, I'm glad we worked that out. I'm really glad we know that now. We should start a poll in the coven to find the true answer.
Are
to
you attracted
question.
To Michael Douglas?
To Michael Douglas? Oh. Yeah,
dude, I kind of want to start that poll on Facebook right now and have no context
with nothing at all. Yeah. Okay. Alrighty. This will explain everything. It'll just be an after the fact explanation. Y'all can wait.
You know what? I'm not even going to do it from my Facebook. I'm going to do it from the Wubba Facebook.
Excellent. Official.
Yes. Yeah. Because we need to know this. Okay, Mace. Wow. Man, this was dumb.
Yeah, it's what we do. Dumb is what we do. Wubba.
Wubba, dumb is what we do. Did you see where somebody posted on, speaking of Facebook, they were like, I don't want to learn things from a podcast.
Oh, yes,
I want to hear
two like 30 minutes familiar. Of bullshitting about not even the topic. And I was like, you know what? Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
But you know what? I'm glad that you want that.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're going to get.
That's all we can do as our level of talent.
Yeah. Talent. We're the talent.
The talent.
Oh,
I'm going to talk to you about henbit.
Please do.
Latin name, Lamium amplexical, which sounds like a medicine, like a pharmaceutical amplexical. It is, so generally, commonly called henbit, also greater henbit, also henbit dead nettle, which I feel like confuses it with what it's already confused with, which is purple dead nettle. We'll get into it. So I just don't see the need to put the dead nettle at the end because it just makes it even more confusing. But henbit is what we're talking about. It is native to Europe, Asia, and Northern Africa, but it is just about everywhere now. It's all over the place now, like over the whole damn world now, except
it's
the tropics.
It's just outside.
It's everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, basically everywhere but tropical places and like dead desert places. It'll show up. And it's probable, like I told Charlie at the very top of this, that you know what it is, even if you don't know the name of it. You can Google henbit, H-E-N-B-I-T, and you'll be like, oh, that thing. It's you'll just know because it is there. It's present everywhere. It's kind of like clover. It just kind of pops up in places.
Yeah. I never knew the name for it, though. I just kind of was like, oh, those little teeny tiny pink things.
Yeah, the little trumpety things, trumpet flowers. So what does henbit look like? What are we talking about here? So I really enjoyed, this was from Wikipedia, a very short sentence on henbit, but it was written so... I don't know. It was written very funny to me. Here we go. Henbit is an annual herb with a sprawling habit and short, erect, squarish, lightly hairy stems. Sprawling habit. It is a habit of sprawling. It can't help it. Aww. It's got a sprawling habit. I just thought that was so cute. Like, it has a sprawling habit.
precious. Me too. Same.
Yeah, I get it. And it is. It's kind of a creeper. You'll find henbit sprouting in its little tufty, little clump-like patches all along sidewalks, garden beds, parks, like agricultural fields, just about anywhere that the earth has been disturbed. You know, like moved, altered around, like messed with, landscaping, things like that.
With the sickness.
They like that. They're into it. And I know, let me see. Oh, here I am. So the leaves are really cute on these guys. So the leaves just are, they're very like circular. Well, they make a circular shape, but they're very lobed in shape. And they kind of, the way that they sprout on the stems and are shaped in this fan-like fashion, they really just like kind of combine to make a perfect little circle around that part of the stem. They look like little doilies and the stem is just coming up through them. It's cute. And really, depending on like the soil conditions and the lighting, they can kind of change and be a little leggier and more sparse or more kind of like bushy and thick. You know, sometimes you can find really thick patches of them. And
thick.
These thick patches can actually, they can spread to cover entire crop fields and meadows. So they can, it can really spread. But why the name henbit? Where does the common name henbit come from? Well, it's because people felt really literal when they picked that name, because henbit is called henbit because chickens really like it.
I was wondering if it was going to be quite so literal.
Yeah. They just love it. They like going after the seeds. They like the leaves. And so if you have grazing chickens, or if you just keep chickens in a coop and you want to like give them a little treat, you can either, you know, just like introduce them in their free range little grazing area. You can clip some and give it to them. They'll eat it all up. And what's nice about henbit is that it can play a pretty crucial role in the ecosystem of places that it even has spread to and wasn't originally naturalized in. And while it can move in and become pretty densely spread, it seems that it plays a more beneficial role than an invasive one, because henbit is like a pollinator's favorite thing. They love it so much. They're all about it. They want to flock to it. Those little pinkish, kind of purpley, little trumpet-shaped flowers. They just go there and they just lick it all up, that sweet nectar. Just get in there.
Okay.
And when the henbit grows, it starts in winter. It's a winter herb. And it's blooming in early spring. It is one of the first little wildflowers to be blooming again, which gives the pollinators that are still like hanging around, like the bees and whatnot, you know, like it gives them something to really go eat for the first time in a while, you know, that's not like it gives them like a, oh shit, the henbit's here. You know, it's like when we talk about our ancestors, you know, when it's like the signs of spring come and it's like, you're really running out of food, you know, and it's like, you're really needing spring to show up. It's important in that way because it is a burst of nectar that is pretty, like there's quite a bit of it. It's pretty concentrated and the pollinators are starved for it. So it's like they're waiting on it. They go straight for it because they finally, after some famine, they're like, oh, let's just go eat, my guys. We're just going to go and we're just going to eat. And they're super into it.
You ever go to lunch after church?
Oh, my God. Do you ever go to a buffet at 3 p.m?
You ever go to a fucking Golden Corral and watch a lady run out of it and throw up, and then a whole school bus of people turns around and decides not to go?
That one feels personal. That one.
I witnessed that.
I believe it. I believe it. I've never been to a Golden Corral, but I feel.
What?
I know. I feel like I need to.
Macy, I feel like we should go and just live stream the whole thing.
The whole thing. Just take it in. Because here's the deal. Straight up, I love a buffet. I love a buffet.
Yeah.
Always have.
A buffet is good.
I don't care about so many things in a buffet. I just don't give a shit. So anyway, well, all this is going on, right? Bees are back. They're all over. They're slurping it up. All them flowers. This is really jump-starting spring. You know, it's like, it's kind of like a, it's a little zoomy zoom. You get some energy that pollinators are eating, you know, and it's just a great little, it's just important. It gets things, helps to get things going in the early part of spring. And when all this is going on, little wild animals are hitting it up too, such as box turtles, which will just munch away on the leaves, which I love watching turtles eat. It's cute with their little mouths, their little beaky mouths, and they just open up their whole face to eat. It's cute. I love it.
Yeah. And they really just go for it.
They go for it. Big bites. You know, I think that they're cute. and like voles, I think other little woodland kind of tiny little animals, things are using this plant. It's important in the ecosystem. And I did see, this is weird. Potential toxicity when it comes to henbit in regards to horses and sheep.
I'm gonna mute myself. Yay, there it is.
I know those words, but it felt better to just not, it just felt better to just do it in onomatopoeia style. But here's what's weird. Horses and sheep, it seems, there might be some sort of toxicity involved with henbit, and it causes something that's called a staggering issue. It causes stagger in their animals, in the sheep, but only in Australia, seemingly, because from nowhere else does it seems that this has been really reported as bad. So I'm very confused on that. I don't know if because it is such like a isolated biome in Australia that maybe their henbit is a little different. But it doesn't seem to be. And again, like I know, listen, you don't know how little I know about horses and you don't even know how much more little I know about sheep. So don't.
I know you got your ass handed to you by a horse.
I did. The only concussion I've ever had has been from a horse. And I don't know this for sure, but I did find that interesting. And I just wanted to say there's some, it just seems to make things a little weird, in Australia. But I was like on some horse forums, you know, I love a forum.
Great.
And there were several horse people that were horsemen, horse people, who were like, it's all right if your field has some, but you don't want to like turn them out in a whole fucking field of it, you know?
Right.
So do with that whatever you want. Horses and sheep. Huh. Henbit, when paired from an organic farming standpoint, can maybe help you out a little bit. It can help keep a resting crop field covered over the winter so it doesn't erode. The roots can help keep moisture and microbe activity going on in the soil so that it just doesn't dry out. And it's not like a nitrogen fixer or anything like that, but it does just seem to be decently good ground cover if you don't want your field just like they're open with no roots kind of holding it in place, you know, for washout or anything like that. It's just good ground cover. And it blooms in early spring anyway and brings in a whole bunch of pollinators. And I feel like it tells them like, hey, this field's got the goods. Like even when this stuff gets like pulled out or whatever, they're going to plant more shit here and you're going to like it. I don't know if that's how anything works, but like, I feel like it is like, I feel we have more pollinators on our property now since we have the garden. You know, like they just learn where the hot spots are. It's like when you trick or treat and, you know, all the houses that give out the goods, you know.
Oh, yeah, dog.
Yeah. So if you live in the shade like we do here at my house, henbit can be very helpful if you're wanting to get some ground cover going. Like we've pretty much just given up and we have a weed lawn now. It's like a clover lawn mixed with other things, and it's working. And largely this is because my property is almost entirely shaded by oak trees. Like there's nowhere hardly that gets sun for more than 2 hours steadily a day. It's just very shady. That's not like good for grass. Like it's not super into it, but you know what is into it? Henbit and clover and all those little guys. And so it can be good if you're wanting to get like a weed lawn started. And also it has the benefit of coming up nice and early in the winter, maybe when other weed varieties you have might be dying out. So it will help with your coverage. And then it gets that good pollinator benefit like you get with your clovers as well. So I really have enjoyed it. Our weed lawn, like Yeah. Did I say enjoyed it? I feel like I did. But I have.
I thought you said enjoyed it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I felt the texture of it after it left and I was like, enjoyed it? But I have.
Dude, I was talking to somebody the other day and we were talking about, like, I guess childhood fears or like deep seated fears. And I guess this just put them in the right state of like being like a kid, you know, like just a child, something, something. And we went on talking about it and they said they were scared of something.
Oh.
And I feel the need to talk about how sometimes our brains just do that.
They break.
Yeah. And I was like, did you just say you were scared of something?
Scared. That's cute.
I was scared. Oh, anyway.
So Hinbits into the shade.
Also,
oh, go ahead.
If I don't break in and tell you this right now, I'll actually do it. The way every single time you say clover, I turn into that meme of the kid with like the busting forehead veins, trying to not sing Crimson and Clover. I just, there, I got it out.
Good. Do you feel better? Do you feel decompressed? Yeah, okay.
A little.
So Hinbit likes the shade. It likes the moisture. It can handle the dryish sandy soil too, but it really likes that moisture and some nice shady areas. And according to Foraging Texas, quote,
I love Foraging Texas.
Quote, the whole plant is edible, either raw or cooked, though the stems can become stringy as the plant matures. It has a mild, bitter, spinachy flavor. So you can eat Hinbit. It's a foraging plant. And if you have it in your yard and your yard isn't treated with harsh stuff, you can full on eat it. As long with your chickens.
Isn't
humans,
treated with what?
Like, I don't know, like weed shit.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you can go for it. It has some pretty decent nutritional value to it. It has iron in it as well as other minerals. It's a good source of fiber. There's some antioxidants in there, apparently, even though I couldn't find anything about which ones. It's just everywhere. It's like, it's full of antioxidants. But it's like, yeah, but like what, though? Like what?
You don't need to know.
Yeah, just, it has electrolytes.
Brando has electrolytes.
So, and I do want to clarify here from a foraging standpoint that Hinbit is often confused with another plant called purple dead nettle, and they are not the same plant. They look a lot alike, and really, truly, they're very similar in what you in like properties and qualities as well. You can also eat purple dead nettle, so it's not like you're going to die if you don't. But it's just generally a good practice, and I wanted to put this in here that if you are going to forage something, even if there's other things that just kind of look like it and you know that they're safe to, just don't generally harvest something with the intent of consuming it if you don't know for sure. Just, it's a good practice. You know, even if it has like some, it's just get in the habit of knowing something for certain. And then maybe that's how you learn, is when you go out, you're looking for that specifically. You've got your pictures, you've got your whatnot to keep you, you know, on the right track there. But just like, don't chance it, because there are some things out there that can make you really sick or just straight up kill you
murder your ass dead. It seems like a good way to like train yourself to look for the intricacies that plants can have, even if you know like it's okay if this doesn't murder me, because I'll be fine, like, you know, to
just really practice
keep a keen eye. As Daryl Dixon once said, if you're gonna do a thing, do it right.
There you go. There's medical benefits to Hinbit as well. It is an anti-inflammatory, anti-rheumatic. It's a diaphoretic, which can help induce sweating. It can help reduce fever. It's an astringent, and it can heal wounds helped by the anti-inflammatory, antimicrobial, and astringent properties of it. It can be used in poultices for insect stings, cuts, burns, things like that. So it's just all around very useful plant to have. You can use it. It does have the reputation of just being a weed, and it's really so much more than that. There's a lot more.
Kingsfoil. It's a weed.
It's a weed. And there's a lot there, and it can help you out. So when it comes to the metaphysical, let's look at the properties here. So Hinbit thrives in disturbed, upset earth. So it likes the areas that have been stirred up and moved around and like all these unsettled spots and They root down in these unsettled places and become a part of things. They become a part of the immune system, of the ecosystem, unbothered by the fact that they are like on kind of an upset place, you know, like they're encouraged by it. They like it. And henbit also attracts. Wait, oh, I didn't even finish that sentence.
Attracts.
Yeah, I see what I meant there. So henbit also is an attractant. It emerges in winter. It prepares itself to bloom in early spring, largely before other plants. And then the pollinators just come. Like, they're there. These, and like all of these beautiful creatures we love, like the bees and the butterflies and the hummingbirds, they come to henbit. And it is from henbit that they receive the nourishment and then spread beauty throughout the ecosystem by pollinating things because they're fueled. And then they're out there going and everything's jump started. And it's just really starting to unfold in spring. And I can just see henbit as being really good energy to have. In, you know, for like in situations in which like you are needing to find roots in disturbance, you know, like if everything feels a bit upside down or kind of tilled up, stirred up, I feel like henbit energy is could be good to work with because that's where it resides. Is it lives and has this calming kind of balancing, nourishing presence on those patches of earth. And so you can draw from that energy if you yourself are needing to help trying to find your roots again. If you kind of feel that your earth, you know, whether that be like your household or your life or, you know, a relationship, if it feels kind of like disturbed earth, maybe it can be something to help kind of root back down into it. And I could see it being beneficial to use in glamour magic as well.
Oh,
because maybe, well, it's not your luxurious, it's not your rose, you know, and that's okay because henbit encourages beauty that grows and it spreads from you to others. You know, it attracts those to you. And perhaps it could help your light become more apparent to those that you want your light to be visible to. You know, like I just feel that henbit is not putting on airs for anything. You know, it doesn't need to be flashy. It could be. It like, you know, it's a pollinator plant. It's got all that nectar, but it doesn't need to be. It's doing exactly what it wants to do. It's its low little creepy tufty self. And it's going to show up in the wintertime and it's going to sprout flowers in early spring. And it's just going to be a little short plant that's like hardly any taller than a foot. And all of them bugs are going to come right to it. And I just find that really interesting. You know, it's not like your lily that's got like that huge, open, massive light that's like, come here, over here. It didn't need to do that. It's got these tiny little weird pink flowers that don't even look like flowers almost. They just look like little teeny pieces of tissue paper that are just like spurting out of the plant. Like it's just not, when you look at it, you wouldn't think like pollinator, like, gas station, convenience store, you know, like I wouldn't, but I like that. It's authentic. And that's the energy of henbit, is that there's authenticity there. And we like authenticity. Like, I think we crave it. And even though like our manners, like societal manners, do just about everything they can to wipe authenticity away and prevent us from having real conversations. Yes, I feel like we can feel it when we meet someone, like even if it's just a stranger, but you have a conversation and they talk to you authentically and you could tell there's no layering of like the uniformly accepted character on top that we're all supposed to have. Like it's different and it's magnetic because I think more and more we crave it. You know, it's inspiring to find true authenticity, to meet someone that is purely who they are as they want to be, and they're not ashamed of it. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. I think it truly is. It's a magnetic presence and it's very inspiring. It can spread. And as more and more over kind of like recent years, I feel like it has been spreading. And, you know, conversations can be more open and meaningful now. And it is becoming more okay to share and just be more comfortable not fitting quite so set of molds and roles. That authenticity is starting to be able to be more open. And I love that. But if that's something that you're wanting to work on, you know, I think that Henbit could be good for this. You know, it's something that a lesson we can all learn from. Like, we don't have to be something that we don't want to be. We don't have to be showy and like have to put on this whole appearance that doesn't feel like us, if it doesn't feel right to ourselves. If it's not how we feel we need or want to portray ourselves to the world. You know, and Henbit, I feel like, reminds that beauty and attractiveness, they're not a set list of features. It comes from and it's like, sure, you can be like an eye roll thing, but there is a big part of it that does come from within. And in practicing and finding and relying on our own authenticity, our own what we want to be versus who I feel like we think we're supposed to be, you know, or what society says we're supposed to be, it's amazing the light that can shine from that. And kind of like, you know, in this case, butterflies to a bloom, people recognize it and flock to it. And it doesn't have to be what everybody else expects. You know, like, again, like when you think of pollinator, you think of all of the like big, bright flowers, you think of this and that. But here you have one that is just like one of the best in the business, you know, and it's subtle. It's doing its own thing. It's created its own example of what that means. It is just an authentic plant to itself, I feel Henbit is. I really get that energy from it. And I think there's a lot of lessons there. There is big success with Henbit. It is naturalized now pretty much all over the world after spreading. And it does so just by settling in. It finds a patch of kind of disturbed earth and it's like, that's the spot. I'll take that. And it creeps its way in, kind of taking over a little bit sometimes, but never enough really to be categorized as invasive because it just helps things out. And it just has massive success because of it. You know, I just don't feel like it's trying very hard because it's just doing what it wants to do. I can't even explain it in any other way. It's just the energy that I get.
It's not like a pygmy.
No, thank you. Yeah. That's what I'm going for. But it doesn't have to be because it just exudes, you want me, you know? And I just really appreciate that about this plant. I think that can be something important to remember, that sometimes it's not a look that we need to try to match, but it's a portrayal that we get to create, you know, like to really experiment with just being what you want to be, regardless of how you think or how others think things should be, whatever it is that is required to be or look relevant. You know, that's just kind of, there's not really a set list to any of that. And I feel like Henbit magic can help.
Henbit, to put a point on it in my head, is like, do what sparks joy.
Yeah, like that's kind of what I get from it, you know, like
be who you want to be.
Yeah.
Am I right?
No, yeah, that's what I get from it.
Am I good? Tell me I'm good.
You are very good. You get a good job points for Slytherin House.
Thank you.
Yeah. Wow. You good?
Did we just make a new game?
Maybe. We needed to finish out our houses that we were supposed to do a long time ago. You remember that whole conversation when we were going to make our own houses?
Yeah, we really do need to do that.
We need to get on that.
I'm going to write that down because I really don't want to forget.
Yeah, we need to get on that.
Who is it? Somebody whipped up some really great.
I know. I don't remember who that was, but you absolutely killed it with some fantastic.
If you still listen, I get it if you don't. But if you still listen, if you want to repost that on Facebook, please tag us.
There was like the Lil Sassies, the Hollering, Hollering Crocodiles, the something Worms. There was one more that I can't remember, but they were pretty great.
It was a wolf, like a werewolf, right?
That was the Little Sassies. I can't remember. But yeah, we need to see if we can find those again. So in a similar but different vein to that, and like just kind of the authentic display and practicing with just being authentic outside in kind of in the world, Henbit can be useful when it comes to integrating somewhere new. You know, and it's because the energy of Henbit is it does it gently. It quickly establishes itself. However, it does it in a way that is valuable. It's encouraging to the overall environment. And so whether it's starting like a new school, a new job, joining a new team or a new club, perhaps even a coven, Henbit has the energy of coming in, kind of just setting up. And being there in a way that is very harmonious, you know, to the overall sphere. It's just good settling energy in that time. Because starting a new job or starting anywhere with like a new group of people can be very stressful. Like, I hate starting new jobs. Starting a new job is to me one of the most stressful things in the world. Like, of course, it's exciting because you have a new job and you're like, yeah, I have a new job. But like, you have to like learn a new job. And then there's all the self-doubt and imposter syndrome of thinking like, I don't belong here. I'm flying by the seat of my pants every goddamn day. And like, that's super stressful. And you do that until one day you realize
they hate me.
Oh, I assume everyone at my jobs has hated me. I'm very stressed in office environments. We can't talk about
you, Macy.
No. Yeah, me. I know. Can you imagine? We can't talk about Henbit without talking about fertility and prosperity, because this is a plant, think about it, spreading all over the world, all over the world now, pretty much. Yeah. It makes a ton of seeds. It wants to spread. It's going to spread. Each plant has like 2,000 seeds. And what I swear I saw were called nutlets, but I can't remember where I saw that or if that's true, but I swear the seeds were called nutlets.
Never mind. I'm not going there. Go ahead.
They're virile nutlets. They spread. And when you're wanting, you know, whether you're wanting to sow your own seeds, whatever venture that's for, you know, if you're wanting some fertile energy, you know, and mind you, that doesn't have to mean baby building fertility. Like, it is a wonder. Fertility is a great energy to work with. And it can be applied to a lot of different aspects in which you're wanting to grow. You know, you plant seeds in fertile ground, and those seeds can be whatever you want. You know, like whether it comes like, you know, to starting something new or wanting to grow a relationship or a friendship, even, you know, like you could apply fertility to so many different avenues, you know, or even of your own, of creativity, fertility of creativity, you know, and I feel like that could be some really good sacral work and whatnot, because, you know, a lot of your creativity comes from your sacral region. And, you know, I just feel like it just kind of goes together. And so you can work with fertility a lot, and it's very potent and I think beneficial magic to work with, but it's easy to forget about it. 'Cause it's just like, if you're not wanting to like that kind of fertility, you know, you have now another kid to claim fertility, then it can be easy to forget about, you know, like
a kid to claim.
Yeah. I have like taxes on the brain. I'm just like, because it's about that time. So all I could think of is tax things.
Another mouth to feed. Can we call any like labor of love, any like passion project, anything that we do that we've put our heart and soul into and perhaps used some fertility magic to help complete? Can we just call that like our nutlet?
It's your nutlet.
You'd be like, I'm going to share with you my nutlet. And this is what I've been working on.
Yeah.
You know, like how some people call their kids crotch goblins?
Yeah. It's a nutlet. This is your metaphysical nutlet.
Yeah.
Nutlet.
Oh.
I like that word.
Gross. Nutlet. I'm sorry. I'm such a child.
It's okay. Me too. So when it comes to utilizing henbitten magic, you have a lot of options. So whether it's by using it in food, maybe a nice little Beltane salad, or, you know, making a tea, or you place some water on your altar and put some in there, and like some cut ones in there on your altar, you know, just as like bringing that energy in there. Or maybe you dry some and use it in a candle spell. You can also boil it and put it into a floor wash. It can be infused into a mist that you use to kind of arm yourself, especially if you're wanting to make like a mist of helping with your authenticity and your kind of portrayal of yourself in the world. Like, include it in there, make like a little armor mist. Because this is a non-toxic plant, it creates a lot of safe options in which you can use the plant in spell work. So you have some freedom to get creative with it. And I encourage you to be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for henbit. It's likely around somewhere you are. And if it's not yet, it will be soon. If you're in the winter hemisphere at the moment. And if so, give it a little nod when you see it. It's not just a weed. And it's certainly not just a weed to the pollinators that appreciate it for what it is as a being. So anyway, that's henbit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What a cutie.
Yeah, very nice. Very, very sweet, supportive, virile, but very supportive and sweet.
And very not, not unassuming.
Unassuming. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I love him. Wow. Okay. So,
this was a fast hour 25. This just like flew by.
Wow. Hour 25. Yeah. Well, listen, in that hour and 25 time, well, a little bit less because we only did this about halfway through the episode. I want to keep you updated on how that Are You Attracted to Michael Douglas poll is going.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
Now, it's still up by the time that you get this. And listen here. Ooh, it's not looking good.
Oh, yikes.
You see it?
Yeah, I see it.
At this point, we got 86% saying no. We got a 14 saying yes. I am one of those 14.
I'm going to vote no.
And you know what? You know what I did? Here's some things that were little gifts to me that I thought were hilarious and I want to explain. A, this was made under the official Witch Bitch Amateur Hour, like, page.
A real treat.
B, the answers are yes or no.
No.
You cannot select both and you cannot add your own answer.
You have to decide.
Three, the comments are turned off.
Did you do that on purpose? That's fantastic.
Okay. This
awesome.
Is my favorite day.
What a fun little long con.
Yeah. Oh, I love a long con. And listen here, and you know what? Here's the thing. If he turns out to be like a secret cannibal or he has done horrible things, I want to say, I don't know about them. Maybe that's why he's coming in so heavy on no. But if he's okay, and you're on the yes side of things, please go show some support because he's getting his ass kicked.
He's getting the floor wiped with himself. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Woof.
Okay. Right. Shit.
Well, good to know.
I think we start closing this bad boy up.
Well, speaking of Facebook, come eat with us on Facebook. That's Witch Amateur Hour on Facebook. Because there's no what on Facebook?
Bitch.
Oh. We have an Instagram at
Witch Bitch Amateur Hour.
A Twitter at
Bitch Hour.
Hell yeah. If you would like to send spooky stories, advertisement, inquiries, and other such sort thing. We have an email address. What is it?
WBHpodcast@gmail.com.
Sure is. We have a Patreon. If you would like to join the Patreon, patreon.com/WBAH podcast.
Help support your show.
Yeah, your show.
Yeah.
We also
are
have
here
a PO box
for you.
Where, you know, like we said up top, thank you to everybody who went out of your way to send things and books and poems and just all kinds of stuff. You know, you never have to. But if you want to, our P.O. box is
P.O. Box 865.
Canton, Texas 75103. And just as a little reminder, Macy, you've got your Macy and Ys yoga going on.
It's over there.
And I've got, you know, join me for Twitch streams every Wednesday, 6:30 CST. Sometimes we'll play The Sims. Sometimes we'll play other things. Well, who knows? Is that it? What else, man?
I think that's all, Brosif.
I think that's it. Go vote for that Michael Douglas.
Go vote. This we'll know by the end of this Wednesday, this day. We'll know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't wait to never turn the comments on. So if you don't really know what's going on, you just won't know what's going on.
You just won't ever know. It'll just be there forever, and you'll not know until you get here, and then you'll know.
Bye, everybody.
Good night, everybody. I'm not scared of little sweet. I'm not scared of little sweet. I'm not scared of little sweet. I'm not scared of little sweet.